Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light and want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolkin calendar is called White Solar Dog, and it is the ninth day of the White Wind Wave Spell. And it is also in the 13 moon calendar, the crystal moon, day 14. And then on the Gregorian calendar, it is June 12th, 2019. It is a Wednesday. And I want to remind anyone who's relatively new about the basics before I plunge deeply in. My practice is deep, and I don't even know that that's positive. It's just what's happened after a long time of doing it. And I am afraid sometimes that if you give me a microphone, that I am speaking from the intricacies of how I consider these time shifts and also mixing up my own energetic experience. And I was hoping to keep it really clean this half hour and simplify it so that I feel simpler at the end, because sometimes I open the concept base really big and then I feel ecstatic in a way that I could unload everything I was thinking or perceiving, and people might listen, but it doesn't always solve the conundrum of keeping life in its purest form, which I think is simplicity, where there's enough space to feel what's going on without a lot of complicated thoughts and complicated feelings. I'm not good at that at all, but that's the reason that I need to practice simplicity. Sometimes I'm behind the mic and I just let all my complicated thoughts and feelings come out. The White Wind Wave Spell that we're in, which is a 13-day segment of time, and it's called a wave spell because it is basically 13 stages. Anytime you hear wave spell, it just means a cycle of 13, and it can be 13 days, it can be 13 moons, it can be 13 years, it can be 13 baktuns, longer cycles, 2,000 year cycles. And if you put 13 of them together, you get 26,000 years, which is how we sort of measure Homo sapiens on planet Earth. So in the 13-day wave spell that began on a white wind day, the first day of the wave spell was a white wind day, and so the whole wave spell is oriented to white wind. That's true that every one of the 20 tribes that we give names, like White Wind, Blue Eagle, Yellow Sun, those all have a wave spell. And that means if you're born, which you're born into a day and you have a day name, that you will have a wave spell of 13 days in your energy, and you need to know when that is. That's really key. So perhaps you're a White Wind person listening, but I want to just speak about White Wind being, to me, archetypally really challenging in our modern setting. Usually I talk about the hardship of what our personal or current astrology is at the end of the program, but it's been really hard, and I would like to break down how that might be a perception that you hold and why it would exist. So white wind is very simply wind. I mean, we know what that is. It just blows through the air. It's a current. It comes from changing heat, evaporative heat, meeting the cooler air that's coming in from outside our atmosphere. and seasonal change and the sun's movement within a day. And that indicates that things shift atmospherically, and sometimes they shift fast, and then the wind is fiercer, or we can have a gentle breeze and it's a slight shift. But nonetheless, in this time, we could just be paying attention to what the wind is doing in a factual, physical way in our lives. And then beneath that, if we're dealing with metaphor, white wind is anything invisible that moves the material, visible world. So I like to say the wind in the trees and how the branches and the leaves rustle, and that there's kind of a collaboration. There's the invisible movement of the wind, and then there's a visible movement of the tree, but the wind is clearly responsible, and the tree is helping us understand the manifestation of the wind's power. And so that would be true of the spirit world, that white wind is a time of considering the spirit world that's invisible, but influences the material world. And we, in our material form, humans and all the other creations on Earth, we prove that there's spirit by manifesting it in our movements, how spirit moves us. I absolutely believe in these considerations of white wind, and I bring it up because I think it's important in case it's helpful for you to extrapolate from wind, this force of nature, how that would play into being about our connection to spirit in this time, the invisible world. And yet I think there are a lot of stages in natural time and the Mayan archetypes that are asking us to relate everyday existence to something much grander, larger, more spiritual, or just more faith-inducing, you know, whatever we would call that higher power, the great God-like spirit that's outside of us. That comes in all avenues and channels of the Mayan spiritual calendar. And so that's not exactly where my focus is going to be in white wind. I'm going to look at the nuance, like, well, of all these different spirit totems or these cosmic totems or these indicators that we are not the center of the world as humans, but rather we need to look at life and feel life from all these different perspectives, the Mayan archetypal mythological totems. I want to say that white wind is a very much a paternal vision of a spirit that's larger than ourselves. That's the definition of it, really, in the mythology that's told through the Dzogchen days. There are 20 tribes, we call them, and there's a story arc to how they unfold over 20 days. The first day is Red Dragon, and Red Dragon is the feminine divine womb from which all of life is birthed. And the second day, equally important, but almost like polar and different. They pair together just as our parents do. But the second day is white wind, when we take our first breath, when we leave the womb, when we join the world that is separate from the cloistered, protective, nurturing, tender place of connection with mother. When we leave that, then we enter white wind, and that's the next stage. And then there'll be 18 other archetypes that is the journey of being alive outside the womb. And it all ends at yellow sun, and it also all begins at yellow sun, the 20th day, the 20th archetype, the 20th tribe is yellow sun. And I say, you know, when they say you rise to the light when you die, and then they say that we are conceived out of a spark of light, that is uniformly yellow sun. But Red Dragon is the first stage of our manifestation, and White Wind is the second stage of it, and they go together. And that what is missing when we talk about spirituality or religion in a much more westernized viewpoint is a lot of the world religions have a male center point. So we have, of course, a Christian God. Yahweh is figured as a male presence by many approaches to that, and also Allah and of course Islam. And Buddhism isn't a religion, but it's a major philosophy that leads people towards practice, and Buddha is a male. So we have these very strong single figure masculine archetypal heroes. You can add Jesus in there if you want to. And looking at this indigenous, quote unquote, ancient, but not that not older than Christianity, actually just coexisting in a different part of the world that wasn't industrialized or colonized, we are still able to grasp and extrapolate. Like, there was a female divinity of great consequence, and then there was a male partner in divinity, and from that we move forward. You know, we experience life from this duality, this connected pair, and we have total balance if we honor both. So white wind is balancing red dragon, but when it stands alone, my evaluation is that we kind of get pulled into white wind, the male patriarchal divinity, and that the shadow energy of this time, and by shadow I mean the challenging part, the part that I think influences us on a deeper pushed away aspect of ourselves or others. You know, the culture has a shadow and we individually have shadows, but within that shadow is just something, I don't really want to look there. It's hard to see. It's pushed off to the side for a reason. Let's not really deal with it, but it just stays there. And so when it's not dealt with, I don't even know that we have to say it festers or it grows. It just exists undealt with. And so I believe that when we move through these wave spells, many of us are back here looking at what we didn't deal with. And culturally, what we don't deal with in white wind time is how having perceived in world religions that there's one male figurehead at the top of the totem pole, you know, pyramid scale, at the very highest peak, there is one male god, that has played into the culture, allowing everything from corporations to families to, you know, imitate that. And the man is the most important at the peak, in charge, has dominion, has domination. Now, we can also say, oh, well, when we look at a male patriarchal guard, that's just people throwing their human foibles at the sky and saying, well, I want to be dominant because I'm the strongest animal. In an animal family, the male is usually the strongest, and so I want my god to look like me. But I like the other way better. I like to say, we've created this system of spiritual reverence where we see a father figure in the sky, and that becomes permission to have godlike fathers trying to run every part of our realities. I'm mentioning this because I really think it's problematic right now, culturally, worldwide, to feel these feelings of the shadow of having reverence for a masculine element of the spirit world, but how it rains down and creates so much problematic human behavior. And that's what I've been struggling with. And so I hope I've been able to talk about it simply enough that, not that you're not smart, it's very locked into my experience and my mind and my heart, and I don't know if I'm able to kind of speak of it in a way that makes it seem like Mayan astrology. But for me, it very much is that the wave spells of 13 days dip us in, dig us down to concepts. There are 20 different primary concepts, 20 tribes, 20 archetypes, 20 fingers and toes, 20 places of Mayan existence that they wanted to offer pointed reverence towards by giving a day sign. I give you this day sign to that which I revere, to that which I honor, to that which has power over me, that's stronger than me. And when we get to white wind, I would love it if it were purified and we would say to ourselves, to each other, you know, it's so wonderful that we have father figures, that we have protective male parental, caring, supportive, but doing so maybe at a distance. White wind is invisible, so maybe the male parental vibe is holding a boundary a little bit beyond our experience, whereas the maternal parental vibe is right close. We're pressed up against her heart, her breast, feel her warmth. She's in our home with us. And I'm not trying to get into like women should be in the home and men shouldn't. I just mean, if we're looking at survival and old animal ways that existed in earlier human society, that's where the mythology lies. And so it would be so nice for us to appreciate how masculine energy keeps us safe and is sometimes out of remove, at a distance, doing important work, sustaining crops, sustaining boundaries, protecting us against predators, but not saying, and therefore men are better because they're able to do that. And therefore men are going to make decisions when they come back into the home, into the hearth. They're going to have a bunch of bossy commands to the people that have been there all day as if they know better. And using that metaphor of interference and overlording, you know, in any part of our daily experience in society. So again, white wind, I think, is troubling. Troubling meaning it can be turbulent for our heart, our heads, for these reasons. And, you know, maybe it's stronger for me. Maybe I have wounding, or maybe just because I'm in a female form that I react this way, and then I'm sharing it with you. So I want to remind you, if you don't have that experience and you don't even care to have that experience, maybe that's not your shadow energy, and congratulations. And then, yeah, pay attention to what the wind is doing outside. Listen to what spirit is communicating to you through others that you meet in this time. And also, I bet there is a depth of communication right now, so that you're talking more, opening up probably. But what's being shared isn't trivial or superficial. It comes from a place of greater knowing. An omniscient voice is entering you and those you listen to, and it's powerful. I used to do a daily podcast, and I miss that vehicle because then I could really just get specific about the day of today, white solar dog. And you could walk forward into the world if you listen in the morning with that on your mind and a little coaching and your synapses aware of looking for signs or being open to them, that would be about white solar dog. And maybe I'll reprise that because it is really meaningful. But I'm trying my hand at this sort of like, okay, a couple times a week I'm going to tell you what the lay of the land is as you walk through it. So let me get to that now. Let me attend to that now so it doesn't get left behind. White solar dog is, of course, the ninth day of the white wind wave spell. So I've been talking about the white wind wave spell because we have 8 days of it behind us, and I've made some assessments. We're going to move really quickly now into its culmination. The solar day is fast-moving, speed of light, the language of the sun. You can think about solar energy, solar power. It is about harnessing the heat, the light output of the sun. And we do that on a solar day. We harness the heat and light output of the sun. And so we sound like the sun. We're like walking sunbeams, floating sunbeams. And in the arc of a wave spell, we're almost to the crest. The wave spell builds to a peak over 10 days, and then it crashes on the 11th day. It settles down on the 12th, and there's pretty much no wave action. We're between waves on the 13th. So the ninth day is just one day shy of the peak, and this is where we are again, so surging towards the sun as we ascend, as we increase our altitude, that we have a clearer communication line with the sun, and we are able to speak to the sun. And again, if we're speaking in a solar tongue, the language of the sun, we're going to have pretty good communication with our higher power, with our God force. And this is a great time to make your wishes and intentions. You have a credible moment. You're not forcing the issue on a solar day to be like, this is what I really want. It's probably informed by the 8 days preceding. It's probably on the topic of white wind themes. And that's because the wave spells are just sort of sewn into themselves. You know, it's seamless. It's a perfect individual movement of exploration for white wind right now. So when we are on the solar day, we're going to be thinking about spirit communication somehow and other aspects of white wind. I've talked about this podcast and last, and whatever you come up with, of course. And so I will speak to the sun today, and the language is in oriented to white dog. That's just how we look at each individual day. It's a solar day. You know what that means. It's also a white dog day. It's the intersection of a tribe and a tone. The tone is solar and the tribe is white dog. And white dog is about love, heart, loyalty, what we would expect from the visage of a dog that was important enough to the Maya to make it one of their 20 primary day signs. And I love white dog. I love it because it is our human heart and how we love without any thought attached to it, without any regret. That will come in the next few days. I'll mention that in a minute. But white dog is our mammalian, warm-blooded identity that likes to be in packs and to cuddle close in piles and to track scents and be sort of wild with nature and to be always excited to see you. And we have that propensity, I think, in modern westernized society to see that as a weakness in some ways, especially in women. When women love with their whole hearts and wag their tails when they see their beloved, they look desperate or obsessed. And maybe they are. I mean, maybe there's an imbalance, but, you know, in and of itself, that is how we are meant to love. Under our humanity, under our monkey mind, we have this incredible loyal heart. And I love that in a white dog day. I think white dog days are also the riddle of if you have a broken heart or your heart is, it's holding aches, then you're going to feel it on a white dog day. You can't really get away from it. White dog is attending to the heart. And if your heart is feeling whole and surging, it might feel like a real lift of a day, a real inspirational day. You connect to your heart. And if you've had some battering experiences where humanity in one form or another, a higher form in some way intellectually than a dog's experience, has harmed your heart or made you vulnerable to feeling what a heart holds, then it could be difficult today. But anyway, that's an assessment of today that demonstrates how to move forward with future days, because this day is already past. You could reflect on it as I've described, but tomorrow is Blue Planetary Monkey. That would be Thursday, June 13th, and that's the day of manifestation. When you hear planetary, it's the peak of our wave, and we're going to have a manifestation experience that reflects Blue Monkey, and Blue Monkey is an evolution beyond white dog, but still a mammal. But we know that monkeys are similar to humans, that our mind agility starts to be evolving in the monkey brain, and game playing certainly is a big part of Blue Monkey. It's a day of magic, play, childlike wonder that we experience the world. And then I took you through this a few podcasts ago, but this amazing little arc of time where we go white dog, blue monkey, yellow human, that's a 3-day run. So Friday, June 14th is called yellow spectral human. And again, it's Wednesday white dog, Thursday blue monkey, Friday yellow human. And so in a quick succession of days, we go from the loyal heart of white dog to the heavy intellect of being a human and having enough thinking power that we think ourselves into moral dilemmas and become preoccupied with things like guilt, shame, regret. We make mistakes, we correct our mistakes, and yet sometimes we make them again and again. And all of that ratchets up the mind activity as we have to assess our behavior and other people's behavior. And we are taken out of our hearts, of course, because we're involving other major organs that synthesize besides just feeling love. And so white solar dog will lead into a couple of days where we enrich our lives by going from our hearts to our minds. And we make adjustments each day. One thing about yellow spectral human Friday, June 14th, is that it's a spectral day. I talked a lot about the spectral moon, which was the one prior to this one, the 11th tone of 13, when the wave breaks. And so we'll have a breaking wave on Friday. You can revisit it then, or on Friday you can feel What is it when there's a breaking wave on the day that celebrates yellow human? You know, that's a complex relationship. Everything's falling apart, and at the same time, everything's really identified by our human experience tells us what humans are like compared to dogs. We know ourselves, we know each other. Dogs do one thing, humans do it a little differently. So on Friday, every time we hit a yellow human day, but this one coming up, we look at life through human eyes. But the great thing about natural time, if you move through 20 archetypes, is that you only look at the world through human eyes one day out of 20. And I really mean that. That's what the practice serves to me, is getting unstuck from looking at the world with human eyes every day and having all these other angles of perception. And of course, my belief is that a lot of us don't look at the world with human eyes most of the time, even if we don't think about Mayan archetypes. And we judge ourselves for not being better humans when it's a red serpent day. And really, we're just in base instincts that are very primal. Or it's a blue eagle day and we're way out in the outer edges of the atmosphere looking down on things and not very interactive with the humans in our life. Well, instead of feeling like, oh, I'm a bad human, I don't want to be around anyone, we could say, well, you're a really great eagle right now. The last day before I podcast again will be Saturday, June 15th, and that's Red Crystal Skywalker. And that's kind of beautiful because it's when a human just goes right out of their own body and into the sky without their body changing its location. The body stays here and does what it needs to do in the day, but we get to daydream a lot. Skywalking means that somehow on a spirit level, we're time traveling, shape shifting, however you would describe it. We're high, we're up high, we're out of body experiencing things. And that'll be, you know, the relief from a yellow human day where we do get really locked into the perception of how things are through our intelligence, our intellect, honing our evaluation of what's going on around us. That higher mind emerges right after on a Red Skywalker day. And Saturday is called a Magic Turtle Day because it's a crystal day in the Zolk'in within a crystal moon of the 13 moon calendar. And that kind of collaboration or coinciding tone or tribe energy is called Magic Turtle. It's just a moniker. I don't think it's probably Mayan in origin to say, hey, pay attention. It's a doubling of energy. Sometimes it's tripling. And so then we'll be at the last day of the White Wind Wave spell on Sunday. That'll be the White Cosmic Wizard to finish out the White Wind Wave spell. So like I said, you can anticipate that these days I've just portrayed that we're rolling towards our peak of the wave and then spilling over the other side and feeling it settle. All of that is the White Wind Wave spell coming to full fruition and actually finishing its cycle. And so I really do appreciate that I could download a little bit of my perception about White Wind because it's difficult. And I'm going to finish with revisiting that when I talked about what's hard about right now. There's one thing that I haven't mentioned, which is also now starting tomorrow, Thursday, we will be in the third week of the crystal moon. Each moon of 28 days long is divided into 4 weeks, 7 days in each week, just like our regular calendar. And the third week, day 15 through 21, is living in the west of the medicine wheel, which is the place of transformation. It comes with the falling night sky. It's like our dreams at night in that it's a little less linear and there can be that experience of turbulence or disorientation. It's darkness. So again, we have that metaphor image of when you can't see by the light that's piercing and bright in daytime and you have to find your way differently. And then it's associated with water and I say emotion. So if we have that moniker of body, mind, spirit, I add emotions and turn it into a four-part deal. So in the East, in the beginning of the week, we have our mind and then our spirit. That's the week that we've been in. And now we're going to our emotions, and then we'll finish in our body. So to go around the medicine wheel and move through the 4 weeks of a moon is mind, spirit, emotion, body. And we're going into the week of the emotions and the week of the element water. So that can be hard. I don't want to, like, this is kind of a teenage perspective. It's my teenage self talking, that it's like the PMS week, because that's a little demeaning for women. But I am a woman, and I know so much experientially, just as any woman my age, about PMS or just premenstrual. It doesn't have to be a syndrome. That's kind of what it feels like to me. Like, yeah, everything is just churning and emotional. And hormones don't mean that we're unstable. So I'm talking about when things are disrupted in a way that our mind can't control. I think that defines the week in the West. So you can check in to see if you relate to that at all. But I'm revisiting that I think if things are hard, it's because we're grappling with this ideology again of why did we mix up a partner, parental, male, God, divinity? Why did we mix that up with a totalitarian or micromanaging or all-powerful male God? And of course, bunches of people believe there's only one, that there was never a partnership of a female and male divine source that created life. But that's what natural time is remembering. And if you get any sustenance from seeing it that way and remembering that in ancient times or indigenous, not to overuse those terms, but just to kind of pigeonhole it, before this thing that took over and made the world, a few religions that all had male deities ascribed to the powerful source point, there were, in lots of places in the world, a lot of cultures, equal reverence for female and male divinity. And here we are in White Wind, having both things taught to us once more, taught to us to remember that this is a partner situation, and then taught to us to remember that that was taken away and obliterated largely by the religions of modern times. So I think that's a struggle. That's been my struggle. I'm sorry if it's a little airy, but that would be perfect for the White Wind Wave spell, right? I hope you hear that. The air is everywhere. So you can look up your birthday at resonanttruth.com and other people's. That's also fun. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, Inakesh.